From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, December 6th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis composer Christopher Stark wove a sound collage that celebrates the natural world while warning about the perils of climate change.
We just spent a bunch of time taking field recordings of water, wind, collecting discarded objects, recording them to try to make sounds that sound kind of like nature.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin explores the language of landscapes, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Jackson County judge tasked with determining if certain abortion restrictions can stand in Missouri now that Amendment 3 is in effect is still weighing that decision this morning. Judge Jerry Zhang has yet to issue her ruling on an injunction that could strike down rules, including waiting periods and clinic guidelines, allowing abortion procedures to take place in the state once again. Voters approved the amendment to put access to abortion in the Missouri Constitution last month. Though Amendment 3 went into effect this morning, these rules block access to the procedure. Planned Parenthood and other organizations sued the state of Missouri to prevent the rules from being enforced. Rather than issue a ruling Thursday night as expected, Judge Zhang gave the state more time to respond to a motion which would apply her decision to all prosecutors in Missouri. A leading health insurance company is stepping back from a new rule that would have limited coverage for anesthesia care in several states, including Missouri. Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield faced significant backlash this week from the public and the medical community for a policy change that would have meant the insurer no longer covered the costs of anesthesia for surgeries and procedures past a certain time limit. An Anthem spokesperson said in a statement that there's been, quote, widespread misinformation about the new policy, and as a result, the company has decided not to proceed with the change. The St. Louis Development Corporation Board of Directors voted Thursday to approve a little more than $1 million in operational expansion grants to 25 businesses in North St. Louis. The program had been paused after it came under intense scrutiny for dedicating funding to businesses that may not be located in North St. Louis or were boarded up buildings. Neil Richardson is SLDC's CEO and board chairman.
So we feel confident that these businesses not only have a existence and presence in North St. Louis City, but also are in good standing with the city to date.
The awards range from $25,000 to $100,000 and depend on how many full-time employees a business applicant has. The money will pay for operational costs, and awardees have to report to SLDC how they will use the funding. St. Louis County has opened its 24-hour winter shelter for people experiencing homelessness or without another place to go. The shelter will operate at the Salvation Army on Page until March 7th, regardless of the weather. 32 people will be able to spend the night there. It's open to men and women and will also offer hot meals and access to shower and laundry facilities. Those who want to use the Salvation Army space must call 211. A walk-in shelter at Loaves and Fishes in Westport will offer meals and laundry. People will also be able to speak to case managers and get referred to a place to stay overnight. That facility will only be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Mondays through Fridays. New refugee families are headed to St. Louis over the next few weeks. A local immigrant and refugee nonprofit is working with an international resettlement agency to help families get immediate housing, employment, and other resources. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Welcome Neighbor STL will work with the International Rescue Committee to resettle 18 new arrivals. The committee's Remote Placement Community Partner Program will help the local nonprofit with pre- and post-arrival services and case management. It'll also provide continuing resettlement training. Una Bilic is the International Rescue Committee's Deputy Director.
The families that will be received by Welcome Neighbor St. Louis will be supported, connected, integrated, and hopefully will be self-sufficient in a short time after arrival.
Bilic says the agency is working to get refugees resettled before potential cuts to funding and arrivals during the next administration. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A newly elected GOP House member from St. Charles County says voters in his closely divided district want consensus builders instead of obstructionists. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Colin Wellenkamp's expectations for the 2025 session.
Wellenkamp is an environmental lawyer who heads up a group advocating for towns and cities on the Mississippi River. He prevailed in a St. Charles-based district that's politically competitive, and he says his constituents want to see action on raising teacher pay and fighting crime. Wellenkamp says voters don't want to see endless bickering or inaction because of personality clashes between Republicans.
Are you going to be an adult? Are you going to stop everything from moving? Or are you going to reach across the aisle, work on compromise and build consensus and actually get things done? Now,
Wellenkamp will get sworn in when lawmakers return in early January. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Wellenkamp was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can listen to his episode at stlpr.org or wherever you listen to podcasts like this one. The 4th of July in downtown St. Louis will look much different for thousands of St. Louisans as the city's annual parade is moving to the fall. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
Celebrate St. Louis, the sponsor organization that puts on the parade, will still hold a July 4th event in downtown St. Louis. The two-day festival will feature live music, food vendors, and fireworks, and will remain on the grounds of the Gateway Arch National Park. In a statement, its leaders said the July 4th event will bring together community groups and regional leaders for an inclusive celebration. The parade was once known as the Veiled Prophet Parade for the secret society that ran it. The group long faced criticism for its annual ball, which for years excluded Black and Jewish people. Details about the fall parade have yet to be announced. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
There are now signs along Coldwater Creek in North St. Louis County warning of radiation. In capital red letters, the signs say attention and warn not to dig in the dirt because low-level radioactive materials are present. Advocates and community members living near the creek had been calling on the Army Corps of Engineers to post signs for decades. The creek is contaminated with radioactive waste left over from World War II-era efforts to build atomic bombs. Advocates and Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey criticized the Army Corps' original plans for signs, saying they did not clearly communicate the risk. Bailey is also calling on Congress to pass funding for St. Louisans who are sick after living near radioactive contamination. A group in Steelville, Missouri, wants to acknowledge the small town's location along the Trail of Tears with an art memorial. The Trail of Tears Remembrance Committee is working with Native groups to honor the people who came through Steelville during their forced removal from their ancestral lands to Oklahoma. Visual artist Daniel Horsechief is creating the 10-foot bronze statue that will be placed at Steelville City Park. He says art is an important way to teach people about this painful history.
It needs to be acknowledged, and that has relevance to not just that small community, but to the state, to this nation, and in effect, the whole world.
The committee is hosting a bike, ride, walk event along the trail this Saturday to raise funds for the memorial. A Metro East college finished excavating a mastodon skull on Thursday. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports Principia College faculty and students think the Ice Age creature died from a lightning strike.
The Elsa Illinois College has been digging up the prehistoric creature for the past 2 years. Professor Andrew Martin and students believe there's a few reasons pointing to lightning killing the mastodon. They excavated the tusk and found the first foot and a half completely charred.
It's kind of a dramatic way to go. We're still developing that. You know, you're piecing together parts of the story from the bits that you find in the ground.
The tusk was discovered by accident while a Principia employee was digging up dirt for road construction in 2022. At the time, it wasn't clear if the skeleton belonged to a mammoth or mastodon. However, Martin and the students say the mastodon's distinctive teeth gave it away. In Elsa, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis-based composer Christopher Stark visited outdoor spaces in Montana, New Hampshire, and New York to create an album that celebrates nature while warning of catastrophes triggered by global climate change. For The Language of Landscapes, he and his collaborators combined field recordings with cello, percussion, and discarded items fashioned into instruments like plastic bottles and styrofoam bowls. Stark says their work emerged from lots of deep listening.
Have you ever really closely listened to the sound that the wind makes in a deciduous forest versus a coniferous forest? The coniferous sound, which I grew up with in Montana because of all the, you know, pine trees, fir trees, there's a kind of hollow sound, sort of like through the trees. And in a deciduous setting like St. Louis, more of a shh kind of sound.
My name is Christopher Stark, and I am a composer and associate professor of music composition at Washington University.
I created this album in collaboration with a duo called New Morse Code. Their names are Michael Compitello, percussionist, and Hannah Collins, cellist. We were trying to create a piece that responded to climate change more broadly, but also just kind of like resourcefulness, wastefulness. We could make a kind of collage of different synthetic sounds with natural sounds and put them in a sort of counterpoint with one another. And we just spent a bunch of time taking field recordings of water, wind, collecting discarded objects, recording them. So there are plastic grocery bags, discarded pieces of wood, discarded pieces of metal, to try to make sounds that sound kind of like nature. We found these styrofoam crafting bowls at a Michaels store, and we just happened to find out that they were tuned to D major. And so we created this kind of like melody out of these styrofoam bowls and loop them until it becomes this big cathedral of percussion. But now with the synthetic object, which is sort of like a representation of possibly where we're headed in the future, where we may not have access to things like the hardwoods and horsehairs and things like that that are in a cello. So we're gonna have to make music with other kinds of materials. When we were in upstate New York on Lake Geneva, we were sitting at the shore of the lake and listening to the way that this water lapped against the shore, this kind of gentle sound. It actually had this like very strong melodic quality. And through some computer processing and listening to it more closely, we thought, okay, we're learning a kind of a melody from water on this lake. And then we're going to do some very traditional classical ideas of, we're going to put the water melody in canon with the cello and the percussion and do something, you know, that Bach would do with an organ and a violin. This very beautiful, gentle water sound that gradually becomes this distorted sound. And it's distorted by basically removing digital information from the sound. So as it progresses, I'm sort of taking ones and zeros and removing them from the audio until the computer can no longer accurately represent the sound. Thinking about removing that information as a way of sort of destroying a natural resource, or, you know, a metaphor for possibly the sound drying up. Nature has this ability to be infinitely inspirational. If you pay attention closely enough to almost anything, there's something there that you can respond to.
That was composer and Washington University professor Christopher Stark. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin produced that report. It was edited by our David Cazares. Thanks, David. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now you're hearing an Adult Fur remix from Christopher Stark's album, The Language of Landscapes. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.